Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. And on today's show, we got an update on the JSTAR X program, and we've got Ian Kitajima. He's the president of Pictor. And we also have Nobu Takahashi from Tokyo, and he's heading up a company called Diarcus. And we also have Toku Saiki from a company called Letara, and also from Tokyo. So we've got an international show going on today, and I want to welcome you all to Bite Marks Cafe.
Hello. Hey, Bert.
Hey. All right, hey.
Great to have you guys all on. And, you know, we got to meet each other at a couple events here, and I got to, you know, meet both Nobu and Toku. And this JSTAR program, JSTAR X program, Ian has been involved with it for several years now. But I had Ian, you and I, we chatted about this back in, I think, January. And at that time, it was sort of high-level overview. We didn't have any of the companies actually join us. But just sort of as a refresher, you know, tell us a little bit about what the JSTAR X program is all about.
Yeah, okay. So JSTAR X is an incubation program basically run by the Ministry of Economy, Trade, and Industry of Japan. And we also work with JETRO, which is the Japan Export Trade Organization. And they actually put on these JSTAR X programs all over the world. And Hawaii has been fortunate to put together kind of a dual-use incubation program for Japan's top technology companies. Most of them are doing really deep tech kind of stuff. And so we actually just completed the second year, the second cohort, and we're trying to start gearing up, hopefully, to actually win and actually run the third year for the coming new year. So, and it's really to bring Japan's top technology companies into the U.S. government market, which includes the Department of Defense. So we basically work with the companies to get them positioned to actually do work in the U.S. U.S. government market.
Yeah, and you mentioned dual use, and both Nobu and Toku's company are basically commercial enterprise that have opportunity to do what you call dual use, which has applications in the defense industry, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they're both civilian companies, but then have, I think, really great, great potential in the defense sector here in the U.S.
So now, you know, I got to meet both Nobu and Toku, and, you know, I tell you, yeah, you talk about deep tech. Both of them have really deep technologies that they represent in their companies. And I do want to give them a chance to chat a little bit about what they do. And we'll start off maybe with Nobu. Nobu, your company is Diarcus. And I know you gave me a story about, I don't know, some Greek god or something about Diarcus. But what is the story behind the name, and what is it that you guys do?
Right, yeah. Hey, right, Diarcus, it is a Greek word and all that. There's no god behind it.
Oh, okay.
it means perpetual something. It's an adjective word.
Uh-huh.
And there's a reason for that. So we come from gaming, and what we do is basically we have this piece of software. It's also called DRT. It's for online multiplayer games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what we basically do is that we have this piece of software, and we have games integrate our software into their game so that they can develop the awesome online multiplayer games, right? What we call it, it's called middleware in mm-hmm. our industry. So middleware is on its own, as is, it doesn't do anything whatsoever. That's actually why the name is an adjective word. It doesn't complete on its own. It has to be integrated. It has to run along with something
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story behind the name.
You know, what popular game do you actually have your middleware running on?
Right, one of the popular ones that I can actually mention is Tekken 8. It's
uh-huh.
a Japanese fighting game. This game's old, man. It's like more than 30 years old. And now it's the number eight. We do matchmaking and battle synchronization for people all over the world to actually basically punch each other and in game.
Well, but your middleware has a lot of application in some of the more recent kinds of programs, right? And then you don't have to mention them because some of them might not, you know, might be proprietary, but you know, the whole multiplayer gaming environment is pretty huge, right? So they would rely on middleware like yours.
Right. It really is. And especially these days, a lot of games are leaning towards online native, meaning that basically having some sort of online features where people can just mingle together online and play along together or playing against each other or whatever is almost like pretty much like a requirement. But at the same time, this type of technology is not that easy to actually do on your own. So that's where we come in.
Well, that's great, and Nobu, I just got to tell you that, you know, your English is better than mine, so you know you're doing great.
Thank you.
Hey, Toku. So your company is Litara, and I met you also, and yours is also a very interesting. I mean, all the companies that Ian had from JSTAR X are really pretty interesting, pretty far out there. But Toku, tell us a little bit about Litara.
Sure, thank you. So our company, Litara, it's a Japanese company that builds rocket and spacecraft engines that run on plastic as fuel. And one of the neat things about plastic is that it's very, very safe. You guys probably use some form of plastic on an everyday basis, so you kind of know what it feels like. It's really difficult for it to be toxic or flammable. But one of the things we did was we developed a way to essentially combust that plastic and turn it into a high thrust fuel that you can now use to launch rockets into space or to power satellites into go into different orbits.
Wow. So in what form is the plastic? I mean, typically you think of rocket fuel being in some form of a liquid or, you know, very compressed gas. But what is the plastic?
Yeah.
What form is it? Does it take?
That's right. In fact, this is one of the most exciting things about this. So it's actually just a regular solid piece of plastic. And so we actually call them fuel canisters, but you can 3D print the actual fuel and then it congeals into whatever shape kind of fuel block that you want. It's in a perfectly solid state. So you can stack them on top of each other. You can carry them onto airplanes and you can put it in your backpack. So you don't need to do anything complicated like keeping it in a liquid state. Or even kind of high pressure state, so it makes it really easy to handle.
Wow, that's great. In fact, from a handling standpoint, that totally makes sense, and it's probably much easier to handle something solid like a plastic as opposed to some, you know, liquid form of fuel. Is that one of the primary benefits? Is it from a combustion standpoint? Does it provide more thrust? Given, let's say, weight per thrust kind of ratio?
Yeah, there's something to be said about. Obviously, solid state tends to be a little bit more dense. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about launching something into the atmosphere or into outer space, having very, very dense, fuel-rich kind of form is very important. Typically, gas is very difficult to handle just because in order to pack in a lot, you have to really put it under pressure, which means in order to handle that pressure, you're talking about these really thick and heavy metal tanks. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to worry about any of that because you're essentially just working with one solid block. So that density piece is kind of a huge piece of it. Developing engines, typically the more you can just like pick it up and move it as opposed to using very, very sophisticated, difficult equipment just brings down the cost and speed of development substantially. So absolutely, that solid-state piece is a huge, huge piece of this.
Well, you know, Toku, again, your English is better than mine, and I'm glad to have, speakers all the way from Tokyo speaking better English than I can. So I love it. Ian, I do want to ask you a little bit about, you know, your interaction with, you know, companies like Nobu's and Toku's. And you've been back and forth, not only mentoring them here in Hawaii, but also at a conference in Japan. So I do want to talk to you a little bit about that and how that all went. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back to this short break to continue our conversation with Ian Kitajima, president of Pictor, Nobu Takahashi from The Arcus, and Toku Saiki from Letara. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum, and if you're just joining us, we're catching up with the J-Star X program, and we've got Ian Kitajima, who kind of organizes a lot of this, and he's the president of Pictor. We've got Nobu Takahashi from The Arcus and Toku Saiki from Letara. And right before the break, both Nobu and Toku were telling us about, you know, their companies and, you know, very deep tech, very specialized. And Ian, you know, you're kind of bringing them together, making some introductions. Tell us a little bit about what kind of took place here, because I know there was a kind of a DoD conference that you introduced a lot of them. And then you also, joined them at a sort of international defense conference in Tokyo, right? So there's a lot of that sort of introduction, networking, and, you know, making the connections. I want to hear a little bit about, you know, what you were able to accomplish through those efforts.
Sure. So, yeah, so Bert, so you know, the J-Star X program we run in Hawaii is almost about 3 weeks, but a lot of work actually happens in Japan prior to the companies coming to Hawaii. We run the program here for a couple of weeks. We actually tie it into a couple of major events. One is a design sprint and also our PAC conference that happens as well here in Hawaii. And it's kind of their final, but during those about 3 weeks, they meet, you know, a couple of dozen different potential customers and mentors, as well as different folks, because we really want them to build relationships with people here in Hawaii.
Right.
Then a couple of weeks ago, there was Defense Security Equipment International Conference, something called DESI in Japan. And so the companies were actually at that defense conference. And so we were able to come over and spend time with them. And I'm sure for most of these companies, this was probably their first, maybe one of their first defense conferences they've ever attended. So it'd be good to hear, too, like what they thought about it, because a little different, right? Actually, even being at a defense conference, but let alone being at a defense conference in Japan, and then having our J-Star X companies from actually cohort one and cohort two being at that conference. So we're able to spend time with them and kind of see, you know, really, and again, it's an international crowd of visitors and potential customers that visited. And so I'd love to hear too, like what their experience was like to be in a conference like that.
That's great. So Nobu, we've set you up for this now. So you're in your background, you're in Tokyo, you're at this conference, international, you're getting to network and meet with companies and people. What is it that you will look to Ian for support in kind of nurturing those kinds of relationships? Because your communication skills are great. So you can actually, you know, go on your own and talk and, you know, make those connections. So where is it that you would sort of bring Ian and Pictor into the picture in a conference like that in Japan?
Right. So, thank you. We did meet a lot of folks in defense area and stuff like that. It was really interesting and fun, right? But then again, we're still learning in this area, a lot of times we actually don't really know what's actually going on. For example, how do we actually team up with partners in order to actually get a contract? And even before that, we don't even know what sort of a requirements that we actually have to meet in order to be even qualified to have any contract from the, say, DOD or things like that. Mm-hmm. That's where PICTER comes in. And Ian and all the other members of PICTER, they have been such a tremendous help that the, you know, we could just kind of turn around and, like, you know, ask them, like, hey, you know, those guys that we met just now, you know, talking about this and that, and we have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And
okay.
it happens literally all the time, right? And we just ask them, and we get all that information and all that help and aid. So that really helped us a lot. In navigating this defense area where we just don't really know. It's like we're, like, walking in the dark and they're holding our hands, basically.
Well, that's great to hear. And Toku, I mean, yeah. what is your experience in that environment, and how would you best leverage a resource like Ian?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what we're trying to do, or what, frankly, Ian is trying to do, is to be able to kind of create a movement or some kind of track where you can take a lot of Japanese commercial technology and then apply them to the defense market. And so what's interesting is that due to Japan's kind of unique history and culture, mm-hmm. historically, exporting defense kind of technology has typically been not exactly the most viable route mm-hmm. for business. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what I think Ian and PICTER in general is trying to do is something that's actually pretty fresh. It's just, it's really, really new. And so for us, sure, even as a company, if there are existing lanes, so for instance, if you were an American company that was based in the U.S. and just selling to U.S. DOD, I think that would actually be a little bit easier just because it's already established and there's lots of precedent. But for us as a Japanese company that's trying to essentially export this equipment into the U.S. ecosystem on a defense track, then you have to deal with how to get government approval from Japan's side, how to work with Japanese partners, what is kind of that match. So you're kind of creating that precedent to begin with. We're creating that lane. And that's something that I think we can't do just as a company and certainly as a startup. So we need to be able to kind of target that in a much more broad way, which is, I guess, what PICTER is trying to do with their cohorts in the JSTAR-X program.
You know, I do want to ask you both, Nobu and Toku, are there some things that happen that you feel are kind of like sticky, that have some traction that might result in a progression, I guess, toward a contract or some relationship? And we don't have to get into the details, but I do want to get a sense as to how far you got in terms of the traction. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at the short break to continue our conversation with Ian Kitajima, president of PICTER. We got Nobu Takahashi from Diarcus and Toku Saiki from Litara. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Ian Kitajima from PICTER. We've got Nobu Takahashi from Diarcus and Toku Saiki from Litara. And Toku, you know, right before the break, you know, you were really nicely articulating the kinds of connections and potential pathways that might result from, you know, working with PICTER and, you know, some of these defense contractors. Can you share any traction that you might be getting that might and your company does the plastic fuels, and I think there might be, you know, quite a bit of interest in that. I mean, what kind of traction do you feel you're getting?
Yeah, absolutely. I think on the space side, that's an area that we have typically kind of done most of our business. But from a defense standpoint, because our engines can be miniaturized, I mean, the smallest engine that we have can fit pretty much in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of flexible use cases, even on the military side, primarily defense or missile systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what's been interesting is even though when we talk about using this for defense applications in Japan, the Japanese defense industry, or even just on government side, they're really unfamiliar with how to incorporate frankly, startup technology on a really fast scale and to just kind of trial or pilot things. In fact, they get a lot of their guidance from what the U.S. does.
Mm-hmm.
So in an interesting way, what's been really useful for us is we'll essentially have an opportunity to talk with U.S. Air Force or U.S. Army, these stakeholders that have a lot more familiarity incorporating new innovations, especially on missiles. We'll be able to actually get what their requirements are, explore how they've actually historically piloted those kind of programs. And of course, we're trying to get into that essentially method itself, but also having them meet and speak with the Japanese counterparts to be able to show that, look, incorporating STAR technology is a good idea, it can be done, and kind of guiding the Japanese government or Japanese industry side kind of opens up both lanes for us, which has been really, really helpful for us.
Oh, no, that's great. And Noble, in your case, do you feel there's some traction with some of the contacts you've made, the relationships that you've developed in the conference that you had here as well as the one in Tokyo?
Right. So it's been actually quite amazing. We actually found two companies from the defense industry. They're both U.S.-based companies, and we pretty much formalized the partnership together. And we even responded to an RFI together a couple of months ago. And so it's been moving strongly, I think, in my opinion. And also at the latest event, the defense event in Tokyo, we've met a number of companies, not only from the U.S. and Japan, but the one I actually had a call yesterday from South Africa. They do satellite networking and stuff like that along with Germany, I think. And that was quite interesting that we might actually be working together. And also there's another company from the U.K. They actually approached us right before this event in Tokyo started. They themselves were already also there, and we might actually be working together in the EU context as well. It's been quite interesting actually for us.
Well, that's great, and it's it's testament to the process that Pictor and Ian has really been a part of kind of catalyzing. And Ian, these pathways that you're creating, Japan companies, coming to Hawaii, getting introduced to the industry, the dual use industry, the DoD sort of counterparts here, as well as, some of this international work that you guys are doing, like in this Tokyo conference. So these pathways that you're creating, how do you see kind of Hawaii benefiting from it? And do you see the potential for a reverse kind of flow where Hawaii companies might have the opportunity to get introduced in the same fashion as the JSTARx companies are getting introduced?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think long-term, that's kind of what we want to be doing. I think, just going back to like Toku and Nobu, what you just shared, one of the things that I learned when we were at this conference in Japan was first of all, they were there, right? Mm-hmm. Prior to the JSTARx program, they would probably not be stepping into a conference like that. But I think what I saw as well was the opportunities are actually coming from their own country, right? From their own country, but also from other nations around the world. So they may find, and we may find, that their first customers as a result of the JSTARx program are not actually U.S. customers or U.S. Department of Defense. It may be actually other folks, but because they're kind of ready and they're kind of stepping into that new world, it creates opportunities and potential opportunities and opens doors that maybe they never thought about. I think that's one of the things that when we designed this program for them, but as well as now we're going to be designing a Hawaii-based version of the JSTARx program, thanks to HTDC, the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation, the High Technology Development Corporation here in Hawaii. We're going to run a small program. Again, the idea is to bring people together, create opportunities, and we would like to have the JSTARx program and this Hawaii program, actually the people as part of those programs again, meet and build relationships and help each other come into the U.S. market, as well as come to maybe the Japan market as well. So, yeah, so I think there's lots of opportunities, and we're trying to create the conditions so those things can happen for everybody. And that's really been the mission of PICTER.
Mm-hmm.
Right? PICTER was actually started to create better relationships between the United States government and the Japan government 40 years ago. So this year we celebrate 40 years.
Wow.
And so it's been great to come back and be able to work with the best, amazing technology companies. Like their companies in Japan are like, I think, a secret. There is, you know, there is amazing, amazing technology companies in Japan. And part of it is for bringing them here too. I like to show them off to people here in Hawaii to get us inspired that this is something we can also do, I think, here in Hawaii. And when you see what these companies do, it's super exciting.
Well, you know, I got a chance, and thanks to you, Ian, you know, get to meet Nobu and Toku, and I personally was very impressed. Now, Ian, you mentioned also another sort of benefit where one of the companies, I think out of the first cohort, actually met one of the other companies, and they were able to get a good investment in their company as a result of the relationship that was established.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think one of the metrics of success, of course, we're always looking at, okay, will Nobu or Toku be able to get a U.S. defense contract or get U.S. defense partners and be able to do things? But I want to say one of the interesting stories that happened out of the first cohort is when these companies come to Hawaii, they've never met each other before,
mm-hmm,
really.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a relationship. But after 3 weeks of just being together, they really, you know, and we spent a lot of time with them. We almost like live with them for 2.5 weeks. Two of the companies actually got to know each other. One was a VC investor,
mm-hmm,
that when they went back to Japan, that company and that person actually helped to lead a funding round that helped this other company raise, you know, a tremendous amount of capital for a Series C round of funding. So to me, that was a win. Like, wow, that's great. Together, these guys got together and they actually been helping each other. But what it's also doing is now that company, which was formerly a kimono manufacturing company that makes advanced materials, as a first step into the U.S. market, they're looking at Hawaii being a place where they would bring that manufacturing or assembly capability of this high-tech material and use Hawaii as a stepping stone into the U.S. DoD market.
Well, Ian, you know, we're gonna have to have another show on that particular topic when that happens here. So where can people find out more about JSTARX and what you're doing for the companies?
So just go to the PICTER website, so PICTR.org. So go to the PICTER.org website.
Sounds good.
Go into projects and take a look.
Ian Kitajima is the president of PICTER. Nobu Takahashi is the founder and CEO of Diarcus. And Toku Saiki is the chief commercial officer at Latara. I want to thank you guys all for joining me today.
Thank you, Bert.
All right, thank you, Bert.
Thanks, Bert. Thanks, John.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk to a couple of the companies from the latest Mana Up cohort. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.